All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have here Taylor Hobinum with me, who's dead tired after a hard day's work, but is willing to talk. Taylor, how are you feeling?
I feel very good for being tired because I got to play with, Jean Betjé and Jean-Jacques Avenal tonight. So how could you not feel good after getting to do that?
Great. It was a great concert. It was the first time you played with these with the two.
No, it was we just met yesterday. So it was, of course I've listened to their music for years, and it was funny. It turned out Jean Betjé and I have a lot of mutual friends from before he moved to Paris. A lot of the people that he was close to in the States are people that I've become close, that I was close to, but we had never met before. So
So what did you guys play tonight? It was basically your compositions, and then there was a composition by Sun Ra, and there was a composition by Steve Lacy.
yeah, well, the Lacy compositions with the students play. We did a workshop during the day, and so the students played a Lacy composition. But then with the trio, we mostly did my tunes, but a lot of improvisation, obviously, with it. It became very much their tunes as well. And then did that one tune by Sun Ra, Fate in a Pleasant Mood, which is always, I just like the title. It makes me happy.
Right, and there was a lot of good humor in the music tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. I feel it should. I like music to have. I don't want it to be goofy. It shouldn't be a joke, but there should be humor. There should be sadness and happiness and funny and angry and the whole thing. So.
Right. Could you give me some insight into your own personal musical conception?
That's a big
Is that
question.
yeah, I was thinking, I couldn't think of anything light.
Wow, you said, I'm tired, man.
Yeah,
You said
okay.
take no, I'll try.
Yeah, right. Just briefly, slightly superficially.
Okay, I mean, I think for my music, what I'm most interested in doing is sort of continuing the stuff that has been done in sort of the jazz tradition, and not just the jazz tradition and any creative music tradition, but for me is trying to do something that is individual but grounded in the traditions that I come out of. And also for me is still playing with the idea. I still feel there's a lot to do playing with the line between composition and improvisation. And I love free improvisation. That's very exciting, and I like to do that sometimes. And I love through composed music is very exciting, and I love to do that sometimes. But for me, it's most exciting when the two push each other somewhere else, somewhere indefinable. And so I think for my music is using, and I think you can get to that indefinable space through just improvisation or just composition. There's many ways to get, to that sort of transcendent point, which we're all going for with music. But for me, I find the way to really make sure that I end up somewhere different and somewhere unique is really that blending of the two. So, drawing off of, what AACM did and what Duke Ellington did and what Charles Ives did and all these different artists to challenge myself to be in a different context than I would get if I was just, knew what I was going to play or had no idea what I was going to play. I kind of like having a suspicion of what I might play, but still have plenty of room to be surprised within that. So,
All right. So, and what do you call your music? Is it? It's not free jazz.
I wouldn't say free jazz. It's I usually call it weird jazz,
Is it?
yeah, naming the music is always the most difficult thing.
You don't want to do it.
Well, I try. When pressed, it's easiest to say, because the problem is when you just say jazz, people have a certain conception. Either Louis Armstrong or Wynton Marsalis or Kenny G. Or all things that
Kenny G, right.
90. That's the thing is, 95% of when I wander around in the U.S. and someone says, "What do you do?" It's like, "Oh, I play jazz." Oh, like Kenny G. It's like, not really. All respect to Mr. G, but it's something different. But then, if you say free jazz, it implies a certain thing, and which is beautiful too.
You
But
play like a cacophonous kind of music.
yeah, exactly. And it's not really free. I mean, it's free in the sense that I rarely get paid, but it's not free in this. I like to think that there are structures there that are so it's not freedom, you know, you're dealing with ideas and structures and forms, just not necessarily traditional forms. So, but then I also still, jazz is a loaded word, but it's still, and a lot of my influences come from outside of jazz, obviously, you know, I mean, so, but the core of my training, the core of my mentors, the core of what I come out of comes out of the quote unquote jazz tradition, for lack of a better word. So I hate not to use jazz because, you know, I wouldn't exist without the music of, you know, Duke Ellington and Miles Davis and John Coltrane and Ornette Coleman. But I hate to use jazz because that puts it in a certain box. So you're always stuck juggling words.
How about creative music? Creative music.
Well, I think the problem with creative music is that's a big term. You know, that encompasses just about everything, you know? I mean, Beethoven can be creative music, you know? Indonesian gamelan is creative music, you know? Shakuhachi flute is creative music. It's like world music. It's like world music is pretty much everybody, except maybe Sun Ra, because he's otherworldly music. But you know, other than that, we're all world music. And creative music, I think, becomes a similar term. So, because does that mean the people that aren't doing my music are playing not creative music? Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem fair. True. So,
yeah, true.
So I just stick with weird jazz. Okay. or you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know why what you said about creative music is true, but I'm quite comfortable using the term creative music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who invented the term? I had a suspicion that it was Anthony Braxton who invented the term. Is it true? Because you've been a long-standing associate of
Anthony Braxton. He'll use that term sometimes. The term he uses that I like a lot is trans-idiomatic music.
Wow. That's something that only Anthony Braxton could do.
But it sums it up, though. It's like, you know, it's rooted in different idioms. It has influences of contemporary classical and folk music and jazz, but it's something else. It's trying to be outside of an idiom, but is influenced by those idioms.
Come to think of it, that really defines the music.
Yeah, I like that term a lot. So that's the term.
Thank you for educating me. That's what I'm going to call it. Terrence Trans Idiomatic Music Hour.
Awesome. Well, but free jazz has a nice,
It has a nice So yeah. So Taylor, it was the first time that you played with Jean-Jacques Avenel and John Batch. Of course, you have known their work and you've been listening to their music for as long as you've been a musician. And how was it playing with them? You've been raving about it being a fantastic experience. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, I mean, it's their level of communication is so spectacular. I mean, you hear the thousands of concerts they've done together. And they're both just so extraordinarily sensitive musicians and so responsive. It's interesting because a lot of the music I do, I feel is a lot of when I write as a composer, I sort of consider myself very much inspired by the Duke Ellington model, where you write for specific individuals. So often with most of the musicians I work with and a lot of my working bands, it's musicians who I've known for years and played with many times, and that's the way that music gets constructed, which is one model, and the one I predominantly do. But I love having the opportunity to do the other model, which is you meet people for the first time and you just have that magical first experience of sort of getting to know each other and figuring out what you have in common and what kind of things you can do with them that you couldn't do with anyone else, just sort of in the first time. And so it's, you know, and to get to do that with musicians, but it's sort of cheating with when you play with Jean-Jacques and John together, because they obviously have, you know, such a deep connection and such an established music. It's almost like you can just sort of ride on what they do so well, you know. So the challenge is to go in there and try to make sure I can make the most of what they do beautifully together, and then bring them something different. You know, because obviously, you know, they have their history with Steve Lacy and they have their history with all sorts of different groups. So try to make sure I can give them the challenge of doing something a little different than what they've already done. You know, I was joking to a friend of mine when I was saying, oh, I got this gig. It's like, I'm definitely not calling any monk tunes, you know, because they like they've done that better than I can ever do it. So So now the thing is, what can I bring them that they can have fun with? So I hope they had a good time too. But it's one of the things that's really wonderful about being involved in the music is A, the chance to play with some of your heroes and people that, you know, and I've gotten the chance to do that with so many people that I've grown up listening to and then gotten the chance to really collaborate with, which is just a spectacular pleasure. But also the chance, as I said, you know, to meet people and to experience, you know, to come to France and play with these guys who have been such a lifeblood of France for so many of the French music, you know, transidiomatic music scene, for so many years. It really gives you a way to travel the world and have this sort of experience working with different people. Sort of like the Don Cherry model, you know, who was sort of the master of, I mean, he would go, you know, to India and then go to Africa and then go to Europe and make music with all these different people. It's a privilege and one of the great things about being a musician is the chance to interact with just other human beings, you know, on this level. So,
right. Okay, so you're ecstatic. I can see it. And and Taylor, apart from playing music, you are also involved in other stuff, which is not just playing music, a lot of organizing, a lot of teaching, a lot of touring, right? Tell us a bit about the things that you organize there. I think you organize a series of concerts, and then there's a festival and other stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess, so I do all these different things. But I've always been involved with organizing various festivals and concert series. Right now I'm helping out Dave Douglas, who runs the Festival of New Trumpet Music, which is sort of exciting because it's a nice way, actually going back to what we're saying, is we're making sure it's not a jazz festival or not a classical festival, it's a trumpet festival. So by focusing on one instrument, you actually get the opportunity to bring together a lot of different kinds of music. It's sort of an interesting organizing device. And it's nice to support other trumpet players because there's so many great players out there right now. I think that the instrument is in a very strong period of creativity. It's nice by organizing it through the instrument, you know, you can have, you know, through composed music, you know, we're going to have, like, I think this year we're going to have Stockhausen trumpet pieces, and we're going to have, you know, free improvised trumpet pieces, and we're going to have jazz, and we're going to have, you know, salsa. It gives you a chance to bring together different things, but have a clear connecting principle. So that's a pleasure. And then outside of that, you know, I love teaching, I think, because I really enjoy it. I mean, as a means of communication, I feel it's a good way to get people involved in the music. I think I was also very lucky in that I had a few teachers who were just extraordinary teachers who just weren't, you know, in the classroom and teach you the, you know, this is what you do. They were much more, this is how you become a human being. This is how you, you know, expand your consciousness. This is how you, you know, really teachers who changed my life. And so having that as a legacy, I feel it's something I try to continue because, I know without some of the people that I had the chance to study with, I wouldn't do what I do. And generally, I'm very happy with my life. So I'd be happy to try to get other people involved.
All right. Great. Great. And at the moment, what musical projects that you are involved in? What are your present musical projects that you have?
On my own music is... I have a large ensemble that I just started, actually, that's new, that I'm in. It's a 10-piece ensemble called Positive Catastrophe, because big bands are wonderful and they're a mess, so that's why it's Positive Catastrophe, that I co-lead with a composer and conga player named Abraham Gomez Delgado, which I really enjoy because I'm coming from more of a jazz, improvised music background. He's coming from a salsa, traditional Puerto Rican music background, but both of us do it very strangely, so... it comes together in a very nice way. So that's been a lot of fun. And then I have a 8-piece group with strings and voice called Spider Monkey Strings. We did a record about 3 years ago, and I'd sort of given up being able to keep working with that band because it's very hard to find gigs for an 8-piece group with a string quartet and a tuba and a drum set and a cornet. But luckily, just recently, I had the chance to go to tour it and bring it to Antwerp and Amsterdam. And so I wrote some new music for that. I'm actually using my sister as a novelist, a really wonderful writer. So I use text from her novel. So the new piece.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's. I'm very excited about it. So we're going to be recording in the fall.
Yeah, what is it? What is it called? It's the name of a girl.
Yeah,
Madeline is Sleeping.
Madeline is Sleeping. And it's a brilliant book. So it's been very fun taking it. It's sort of a very magical realist, this girl who is dealing with sort of dream reality and real reality, and the lines between dreams and real start to blur, and these sort of fantastical characters. So I took words from that and set it to music, it was great for me to do, because it's sort of a neat way to collaborate with family. So that project is going, and then I have a sextet. I have too many projects, actually, but I have a sextet that's, as I was saying, one that's sort of been a long-term working band with musicians that I'm very intimate with. And so that we actually have a new record coming out in November on Het Hut, which will be the sextet's second record. And, you know, we're doing the Vision Festival and a couple festivals this summer, which I'm excited about. I have a quartet with just Nate Woolley is another trumpet player that we just sort of two trumpets, bass, and drums that we just recently recorded for Simp that'll come out in January that I sort of enjoy. I have a collaborative quartet called the 13th Assembly.
Wow.
Which is with Mary Halverson, who's this fantastic guitar player, Jessica Pavone, wonderful viola player and composer, and the drummer Tomo Fujiwara, who's one of my oldest friends.
You have a duo with Tomo.
Yeah, we have a Tomo. With Tomo, we have a duo. And it's actually because all four of those people play in the sextet, but the quartet is very different because we all contribute compositions.
Okay.
And when we tour, it's like a package deal because Mary and Jessica play as a duo, me and Tomo play as a duo, me, Mary, and Tomo play as a trio, then all four of us play as a quartet. So it's sort of four different groups.
Right.
Which is an interesting project. So we just did a tour of Austria. And then, you know, I have the tour, the duo with Toma, and I have, you know, do projects. I play in Jason Huang's quartet, really marvelous
Edge.
Violinist. Edge, yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Play with Bill Lowe, who's sort of one of my real mentors. He's a trombonist and tuba player in some of his projects. And then, of course, I get to do the work with Anthony Braxton, who's...
A lot of work,
which is wonderful, because that's, I mean, he's one of my biggest heroes and greatest inspirations. I mean, and
also your teacher?
Yeah, I studied with him when I was in college. So we have a play in his trio, a septet, and a 12-tet, and then occasional other projects, you know.
The 9-tet, you're not part of the 9-tet, are you?
Yeah, that's not work. That's the old group from Yoshi's. Yeah, that was sort of the late 90s.
Right.
But all his working groups right now is the trio, the septet, and the 12+1-tet.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, each one is so different and so fresh and so inspiring. I mean, it's... For me to have an artist, you know, 30 years older than I am, who still is pushing the boundaries consistently, always coming up with new ideas. All the ideas are so strong and so clearly imprinted with his identity, but always pushing you somewhere different. So that's an incredibly inspiring place to work. So, musically, I feel very happy these days to be able to have my foot in these different things. Too many things, perhaps. I get a little... The last couple months have been crazy busy, but I guess better feast than famine, I guess. So.
Wow, I'm really glad about that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I wish you all the luck. And is there anything you would like to say before we say goodbye and I let you lie in peace?
No, I'm just so tired. I'm sorry if I haven't made any sense.
No, you did.
I've had maybe 5 hours of sleep in the last three days.
I understand.
But no, just thank you for supporting the music, and it's you know, it's that's the kind of thing that keeps it alive, is that you have the, you know, having radio shows and keeping the music on the airwaves and getting it out there is so thank you, man. That's what makes it happen.
Thank you very much, Taylor.
Oh,
thank you for this beautiful music. It was a beautiful, beautiful concert tonight.
Thank you very
much. And will you say hello to Anthony Braxton for me?
I definitely will.
Yeah?
I definitely will.
Okay.
We're playing in Pittsburgh next week.
Okay.
In 5 days,
great.
In Pittsburgh. So.
Okay, great.
It'll be fun.
Okay, so good luck. And
hope to see you again soon.
See you again soon, yeah. Au revoir, yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank
good
you.
Night.